Invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, looking here for some time at the life of the Apostle Peter. His life changed by our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's commanded him to follow thou me. Follow me, Peter. Don't worry about anybody else. You follow me. You fill that which I've given you to do. And there, as just very near the time of our Lord going to fulfill the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, he talked to our brother about how it was with Satan, how Satan was desiring to sift him like wheat. Satan is looking to ruin the apostle's testimony. But the Lord said he prayed for him. He said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And oh, what true words, a true command of our Lord, that the Lord using him, Peter submitting to the Lord, being used of the Lord that way. Our brother is yet some 2,000 years later found encouraging us and strengthening us through the Word of God, through what the Lord used him to write here. In this fourth chapter, our brother started off talking about the suffering that is associated with Christ and how it is with us. We're going to come down here to verse number 8. That's where we're picking things up tonight, or we're going to touch on something remaining there in verse number 7 and then continue on in the passage. Let's just read it from the beginning and get on down there quickly where we need to pick up tonight. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's what we've been saved into. Verse 3, for in time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. All will, but certainly those that are railing upon the people of God, they will give account. We all will give account. They don't know that. We know it by virtue of what the Lord teaches us and how he has saved us and how he teaches us through his word. And so he's ready to judge those that are alive and those that are dead. He will do so. And for this cause, this judgment, this cause was the gospel preached unto also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And I find more that this verse in number 6 is in parallel with verse number 4. We have the saved here that are being railed upon by those unbelievers. They think it's strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. But we're convinced of the Lord we don't need to do that anymore. All right? And so the gospel is preached unto all, unto the dead, and there are those saved, and there are those who are not, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. That's what's happening up here, by the way that men estimate things. Why don't you go with us to those old things? Why don't you do that? But, as we know, but live according to God in the Spirit. We that are saved, we live for our Lord and by the Spirit of God, as we've looked in recent times about the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in all things. But the end of all things is at hand. Verse number 7. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And so here in verse number 7, he says, the end of all things is at hand. You know, it will always, the fulfilling of prophecy, the end of time, the end of our individual lives, the opportunity to serve the Lord, you know, it'll always come quicker than what we expect in this flesh. It'll always be there. It'll be, there are those that our brother speaks about in the next epistle, in his second epistle, about the commentary that is made by those in that day. And every day it said, it's been such a long time since the promise of the Lord's coming. And he says, it's held in store. He's coming. And when the Lord does come, and when the Lord does appear, when the Lord does begin to shut this whole thing down, men will say, uh-oh, already? when it begins to happen. I tell you what, it's going to be traumatic. At the rapture, it'll be quick and we'll be gone, okay? And that will be dramatic, especially for the saved. Can you imagine flying up out of here? That's going to be something, isn't it? And you know what? At 10,000 feet, you won't be afraid. Amen? We won't be. We'll be changed. We'll see our Lord. And so that will be real. I mean, that'll be something greater than we've ever experienced. But then when the Lord comes back, or the Lord begins to judge the earth, even before He comes back to set His feet on the Mount of Olives, it will be so dramatic and traumatic that it'll be unlike anything that the world has ever experienced. And it'll be, and we know that there'll be those that'll be diabolical against the Lord, and they'll rail against the Lord even from earth. But the thing is it will come sooner than what men expect. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore, child of God, sober. Do you know what's going on? Do you understand what's all this is going about? You understand about how it is with our nation, for example, and the judgment of God upon us by the poor leadership that we've had in recent years? You understand that? You understand how the Lord works, that the Lord works down right there to individuals' lives, and He deals with families, He deals with cities, He deals with counties, He deals with states, He deals with nations. You understand how the Lord deals with the church? Do you understand? Do you know what's important to the Lord? How the Lord sees things? Be sober. Understand what is going on. Have the view of the Lord. A complaint, a fear that we have when we meet people. And you know, what we've been blessed to understand, if we understand anything, we've been blessed to understand it by our Lord. And may we glorify Him and praise Him in that. We go to the Bible. And, you know, a complaint that has been raised. You're always quoting the Bible. Well, this is our guide. This is our information. This is what tells us what the Lord wants us to know. And so many go about not even knowing elementary, foundational things that the Lord tells. Now, may we not raise up in pride. May we be thankful for what our Lord has given us. And may we understand that we do need to be sober because of what the Lord has told us. Be a witness of that. And He says here, know what's going on. That's that sobriety that we need to have. Don't be filled up with this world, not understanding and knowing what the Lord is doing and where the Lord is going and what's going on. We're thankful for the way the election has gone. But you know what? Without the blessing of the Lord, all things will come to naught. We need our Lord to work. We feel somewhat of a reprieve, somewhat of a relief maybe. We'll see. We maybe look on in a skeptical fashion. We'll see what comes to pass. Without the blessing of the Lord, it'll come to naught. We can go down, and that's therefore we need to pray. And that's what He says here. Therefore be ye sober and watch unto prayer. Watch. Watch for what? Well, I mentioned the other night that a pastor needs to be watching out for wolves. Pastor needs to be watching out for the sheep, the congregation. Pastor needs to be watching out for the needs. Children of God, the sheep, need to be watching out for the wolf. Need to be watching out for false doctrine. Need to be watching out for sin in their lives. Don't we say that in regards to the Lord's Supper, that we need to be judging ourselves? We need to be watching. We need to be watching for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be watching for the opportunities that He gives us every day to be a witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of things to watch for. And in this, watch unto prayer, an interesting phrase, interesting combination of words, and couldn't help but think here about our Lord and a couple of occasions here in the Scriptures. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 quick. Matthew chapter 26 quickly. And here we find our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe and understand that this is where the sin of the Lord's people is beginning and is laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore them to Calvary. There's great pressure upon our Lord here, greater than that we saw or seeing the Scriptures and understanding the Scriptures about the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. It's greater than that by the things that are accounted here and are recorded here. But in Matthew 26, we come down here in verse number, let's back up here. Let's go here in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them to the place that is called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. We don't have any indication of such a thing as this by our Lord until this time. I believe he's beginning to be loaded down with the sins of his people. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So he says, watch. What would they be watching for? Is Jesus saying, be on the watch for those that are going to come and take me down there to the elders of Israel that we might be able to withstand them? That's not what he's talking about watching for, is he? He's not. But he does say, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh, verse 40, unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's something to watch out for. Temptation. Temptation. To remember in the Scripture that the Lord has told us with every temptation, he will make a way of escape. You know, and that used to be vague to me. It used to be maybe a mystery unto me. The way of escape. What is the way of escape? With every temptation, there is a way of escape. Boy, they must be hard to find. It's not very definitive. It's very simple, really. What is the way to escape temptation? Well, first, we understand it to be the Word of God. Because you know what? By the Word of God, you and I know how to obey. That's the way of escape, is obedience to our Lord. In temptation, do we have the Word of God in us? We have the Scripture of our Lord within us. And then when confronted with temptation, watching, you know, temptation can come up on us like that, can it? I mean, it'll come out of left field, so to speak, come out of the blue, so to speak, and just, boom, be right there. Temptation, be right on us. Need to be watching. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. In the model prayer, our Lord tells us and instructs us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the Lord is not going to tempt any man with wickedness, is he? Never. He will try us with obedience, okay? But he'll not tempt men to sin with wickedness, okay? Understand that? The Lord might instruct me to do something, and it'll become a sin to me if I don't obey him in it. But our Lord would never put intoxication in front of me. He would never put anything vile in front of me. See, he doesn't tempt that way, but he tries the faith of his people. He does. And so we need to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. We need to watch and pray that when we are tempted, as we are promised it will come to pass, that we would know the Word of God, be praying unto our Lord, that we might be sober and understanding to find that way of escape that he's promised. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He says, here's the truth. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what? We need to watch and pray for the sake of the flesh. What is it that John tells us? The new man never sins. The child of God never sins. But we know that we do sin. How can that be? Well, it's that old man and new man fair, isn't it? It's the old man that sins. This old mortal flesh and mind that yet sins against God is diabolical against the Lord. And again, we're instructed in the Scriptures to mortify this old thing and feed the new man, feed the Spirit the Spirit that's alive within, the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God living within us, bearing witness with our spirits, and we are now alive, that we are the sons of God. We need to feed that and mortify the other. Watch ye and watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again and prayed the second time, and so on, as I trust you know the account. We read over here in Mark. Let's take a look in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Pardon me. Mark chapter 13. Our Lord here dealing with the disciples and telling them about end time events. Verse number 32. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. What time? The return of the Lord. So we need to be watching and praying regarding the return of the Lord. You know what? What Brother John, I tell you what, John was sent to Patmos, and can you imagine being dropped off on that island or given a little rowboat to row yourself to the island and then seeing the ship that brought you sail off? Can you imagine that? It would be easy for that to be a disheartening time. But our brother, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, wasn't he? And that book of the Revelation was given to him, the vision of the Lord, and all he had fellowship with the Lord. The Lord ends up there in the last chapter of that book, as we have it there in the end of the book of the Revelation, and he says, "I come quickly." And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even come on, Lord." Now, see, John got off the island and took the testament. We understand it. I mean, that's how the church is. That's how you and I have it today. He got off the island, not to be exiled anymore. And what he wrote, did he write it on the island? I don't know. Did he write it off the island? I don't know. But this I know, he wrote it. He wrote it. And you and I have it today. And you know what? He, being there with the Lord, seeing those things being used that way, says, "Lord, come on. Come on now. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We need to pray that our Lord will come. We need to pray for ourselves and for one another, for our church, that we would be ready when our Lord comes, that we might be found pleasing and acceptable unto Him. Oh, we're children. We are children. We are secure in Christ. But may we be found that faithful servant watching, as our Lord tells us that we should. We come here also in the next chapter. Let's quickly look here in Mark chapter 14. And the same reference as we read over in Matthew regarding the Lord in Gethsemane with the disciples. Verse 37, "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." We come over to Luke chapter 21 also. Here, Luke chapter 21. And this is a good passage. It gives us greater warning about the return of the Lord and how it can be with the children of God. Verse number 34 of Luke 21, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Overcharged, filled up too mar with too much, attention drawn away from what the Lord has called us unto, and living this life unto our Lord, but the care of life, drunkenness, and this surfeiting, the cares of life, that the return of the Lord comes on us when we don't expect it. But, you know, I've always thought, what a terrible thing for the child of God, for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to be at some worship time, and the child of God be off fishing. for example, or willfully not in services. That would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? To end up this life that way, just as an example. He says, take heed yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged in this way, so it come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to be found faithful unto our Lord. We need to pray that our Lord will help us. We come over here to Ephesians chapter 6. The apostle writing to this church at Ephesus, namely a Gentile church. And let's see what he says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Having gone over the armor that the Lord has provided for us, the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. And he says here in verse number 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, praying unto the Lord for others, for self, for the need at hand, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, keep on keeping on, in supplication for all saints, prayer and supplication, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You see that there? Praying always for the needs at hand. Praying in thanksgiving also. And then with prayer, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know what? We need to be sensitive and looking around to see what needs to be prayed for. Do things come about? We see things in our brothers and sisters' life or in their families, those around us, those we work with, go to school with, and such as that. And we see issue in the life, the need for salvation, the need for faithfulness if they do claim to be saved, and we just let it pass. We need to be watching. Watching unto prayer that we might pray. Remember, we are the children. We are the children of the Lord that are heard by our Heavenly Father. And of course, the Lord knows all things with all men, but we are that which is salt and light given here on this earth. Listen, as the children of God, we've got an inroad. We've got a direct line with the Father. And do we use that? Do we use that and petition our Lord that He would work? In Colossians chapter 4, let's take a look here. Interesting how this is in the Scripture. Verse number 1 of Colossians 4, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Be fair, knowing that ye also have a Master in heaven. Remember that. He says here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We need to be watching to be for what to be thankful for, don't we? We need to be on the lookout and watch what to be thankful for. Oh, let us be thankful for this. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for working in this. Thank you for helping here. Thank you for answering prayer. Not just as something that's just hollow and vain, but truly associating the blessing in our life, those good gifts that come from our Father, knowing those, realizing those, and thanking Him for them. We need to be watching unto prayer. We come back to 1 Peter chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand, verse 7. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So hopefully that'll stir us up a little bit more about that, those words, the watching relative to prayer, prayer relative to watching, okay? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, self-sacrificing love one for another, among the children of God, among the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know and believe that this context that our brother writes in is church context? We need to have a fervent love one for another. Because remember, our kinship in the Lord transcends this time. It goes on beyond here. Our kinship by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is thicker than the blood kin we have on this earth. We need to get that in our hearts. Many miss that. And above all things, he says, above all things, It smacks of what our brother writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about charity, love, doesn't it? We can do a lot of things. We can pursue a lot of things in the ministry and the work of the Lord. If we do not have love, he tells us it's vain. Love. Love for our Lord. Love one for another. Love for the sinner. Love for the glorifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And above all things, isn't that what your Bible says? Above all things? This needs to be at the top of the heap, if you will. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Be working at it. Be looking out for it. You know, watch unto prayer regarding how I can love my brother and sister, how I can love my neighbor as myself. Above all, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, this latter part of this verse can be misunderstood. And there are those that pursue that, well, because of love, I will just let that which is sinful or wicked pass. That cannot be. Raise a child that way and you'll have a reprobate, wicked child. And so it's not talking about letting sin pass and not dealing with a sin. As a parent, we should deal with the transgressions, disobedience of our children in a right way to lead them in a way that they would not be rebellious and disobedient. This time that we have with our children, it's a time to teach them by being accountable to us as parents that when they come on and get of age, go on to have their own home, their own family, they are accountable to God. That's what it's all about. Of course, we have that is missed greatly in our day. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. It's not talking about overlooking a thing and not dealing with it. But you know what? It's talking about, how about personal offense? When I'm offended by you, you're offended by me. We're given guidelines to deal with that correctly. But first, let us forgive one another. In the Spirit of our Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when I do things and I hurt you, and I don't want to hurt you, but I may do things, I may say a thing, I might speak without thinking or say something or do something without thinking, and it may hurt you, it may trouble you. You know what you need to do? You need to pray for me. You need to pity me that I don't understand that I've got a hurtful way. Now, that will help. The Lord's the one that can change a thing. Well, we can't change one another, can we? Not really. Not really. But our Lord can change us and help us. He says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. May I love you enough to forgive you without even coming to you in a thing. But if it must be that it must be dealt with, then I'm given guidelines how to come to you. May we not, on the other hand, this call for us to love one another, may we not use it, as the Scripture says, as a cloak for maliciousness. You know that I will forgive you as your brother. So then you come, let's change that. I know you will forgive me as your brother. Therefore, I come and goad you purposely. See, the Lord sees through that. The Lord will deal with that. That's not good. Don't suppose upon this of the Lord, but may we be honest and open. To do so is not honest, is it? Oh, well, you're called, Jim, to forgive me. You're called to forgive me. Poke, poke. All right? The Lord is, that's not what it's talking about. But you know what? The Lord is well pleased. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. It fits right in line with this that the brother has spoken about in every chapter about this suffering of Christ and our call to suffering with Christ. How much have we gone against our Lord and, if you will, hurt Him? And He forgives us. He forgives us. He loves us fervently. Would you say that our Lord loves us fervently? Indeed He does. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Quickly turn over here to Proverbs chapter 10. This is the passage that we understand that our brother is thinking about, the Lord working with his scriptures and our brethren and the references that they make to the Old Testament scriptures. Here's this Old Testament reference, right? For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Let's look here in Proverbs 10, verse number 12. Listen to this. Listen to this context. Hatred stirreth up strifes. I know you will forgive me, and therefore I poke at you and goad you and push, what we say today, push your button just because I can. That's not meekness, is it? That's not meek just to go and push your button just because I can. And we kid around with one another and joke one around with one another, and that's fine. We need to make sure that those things don't get out of hand. We need to be sensitive one to another and not get out of hand. But it says here, hatred stirreth up strifes, and it will. It'll stir up the strife. It'll just keep it going. But love covereth all sins. And again, not an allowance for sin. You know, there are those maybe that you've run across and that we've run across that are willing to allow young people to wallow in the sin and wickedness of youth and transgression. And because of their youth, they just give them a bye. Just give them a pass. That's not right. Sin needs to be preached about and against. Sin needs to be dealt with by parents. It needs to be dealt with in our homes. And you know what? When a transgression's come about, and it's been dealt with, and there's been rebuke or chastisement or whatever, we need to go on and do like our Lord does with us. When He's forgiven us, He doesn't bring it up again, does He? He doesn't bring it up again. But you know, we can be tempted to do that. We say, you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. And then later on, I do something else. Say, oh, you did it to me now, and you did it to me then. And did it to me then, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. The whole list comes back up. We got to watch out, don't we? We need to watch out. And again, remember the theme that we see in the Scripture here in this passage in 1 Peter. These passages in 1 Peter, these chapters, is that of suffering with Christ and that of suffering wrongfully. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And indeed, the love of our Lord for us has washed our sins away. Back in 1 Peter chapter 4, I like this. Use hospitality one to another without grudging in verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know what? You can't be hospitable with what you don't have, but you can be hospitable with what you do have. And we need to be a hospitable people. We need to be a loving people, a kind people, a generous people, a giving people. And we need to do so without grudging. Our Lord tells us, in the Gospels, He tells us that those come to us asking, we need to give it. That's what He says. If they come asking, we need to give it. If we see a need, we need to meet the need if we can at all. And there's a balance in there about dealing with issue and character issue, or that which we would want to build up in our children, or that of not wanting to support bad behavior. Sometimes that happens. And so it's a delicate line. It's a critical balance that is there. But we need to be a hospitable people, a willing people. And we don't need to grudge in it. Oh yeah, be hospitable and then quarrel about it and fuss with it when the company leaves. See, the Lord sees that. And it's our Lord that's watching. It's our Lord. What we do before one another is what we do, but we're not accountable in that one to another. It's not our Lord that records it and takes care of the benefit, the value, the glorification of His name in it. You understand that? If you're hospitable to me, I'm the recipient of it, and I'm blessed in that. But then if there's quarrelsomeness about it after I'm gone, the Lord sees that. The benefit, the blessing on your end may be lost. Vice versa. I'm hospitable, but then I grouse about it after you're gone. Was I looking to please you, or was I looking to please my Lord and being hospitable to you? May the Lord help us. It's not about showmanship. It's about a changed heart by the Lord. I like this in Ephesians chapter 4, relative to this verse and the previous verse, that both apply. A verse that we need to have in our hearts concerning just our walk with one another and before our Lord. The Lord convicted me some time ago to pray that the Lord would help me to be to pray this way, that you and I would be what we ought to be one to another and together unto the Lord. You hear that? In my marriage, Clarissa and myself, that we would be what we ought to be one to another and together unto the Lord. It says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So remember the placement of this portion, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Remember, this is the same chapter that says earlier that we need to be angry and sin not. Verse number 26, be ye angry and sin not. But now our brother writes, our Lord tells us, let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, getting back. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to be hospitable. We need to be filled with fervent charity one for another. We need to have charity that would cover a multitude of sins. And we need to be hospitable without grudging indeed. What if our Lord groused about what He did for us? You know what I mean by grousing? He did it, but then there would be a tone of regret in it. Oh, we wouldn't want that, would we? And He's not that way. He's pleased that He has redeemed us. It was with a great price. He's pleased that He's redeemed us and He loves us. Always. And may we have that spirit and that way about us. We're going to stop right there for tonight, and then we'll take a look here in verse number 10 about this furtherance of hospitality and then how it comes into ministering. And so may the Lord help us in these things.